to A Nightmare on Fear Street.
We're Trent and Sheree, and we're chatting about the fiercest genre.
Expect hot takes, cold drinks, and a couple of fights.
Check out the link in the episode description to connect with us via the usual socials, Patreon, and our YouTube channel. All right, everyone, here we are. We are here again, and today we are covering My Animal.
That's right, y'all. It is still the time and the place and the season of Get Behind Me 23. We are finally banishing 23 to behind us. No more talk of this year that just happened. We are doing new things, queer things, werewolf things. Yes. I did that like a blurty intro. That's just where my brain is. I'm confused.
You have too many podcasts.
They're just like, it's going
to be everything. You have too many podcasts.
I'm going through the alter tapes and be like, this short got this, that, and the other thing. And people are going to be like,
hot take.
Right? I rated a 5. Drinks. My brain is a pasta strainer and I just I'm in trouble.
All right, shall we? Let's get into this movie because there's a lot to talk about and I think we need to start here. We need more non-binary representation, please. I love that this is a non-binary actor. I love that they're playing. Is Amanda also?
Yes, I'm using she, they pronouns. Oh. We found out when, Bodies, Bodies, Bodies came out and that one New York critic, I'm using air quotes, people can't see, had things to say. And Amanda was like, hi.
Yes. But more non-binary representation, more non-binary actors playing non-binary characters, more non-binary people doing all the things, please.
Yes. It was very, very fucking exciting because we don't have enough young werewolf stories told from an AFAB perspective, which is why we keep going back to Ginger Snaps. And she did what we needed her to do when we were kids, but like anything else from that era, not aging well. And so we got to get something else out there. Plus, why do we only ever get one thing when it's not cis straight white men?
And I'm curious because like, I don't know for sure. So, but I'm curious if the director and writer team is, I do believe they're AFAB, but I wonder if they're non-binary as well. Jacqueline Castell and Jay Matthews. I would love to have 4 people being non-binary creating a piece of art. That would be incredible. I don't know if that's the case, but I would love it.
I do know that Amanda and Bobby, who are 2 leads, produced it. Because that's one of my notes, is that people keep having to produce the things they want to see in the world because we are working with an industry that doesn't want anything that's not Tom Cruise. And I love that. I love that the people are finding a way to work the system because they go make their movies that get the money. And then they're like, haha, I have a little bit of respect now. And let me use it to do this smaller indie movie. But also, shit's got to change.
Yeah, especially since it feels like, and those listeners or Sheree, if you know, correct me if I'm wrong, it feels like Amanda definitely went the route of establishing themselves as a actor, performer, and then being able to parlay that into creating the art that they want to see. Bobby, it seems like they established themselves in the fashion and costuming world because they're also a costume designer, which I love. Actor, writer, costume designer. Like, that's fun.
That explains
And they're looks. Also a model.
That explains their looks. Because I was, like, going through the Instagram, and I was like, where are all these costumes coming from? These are stunt pieces. Costume designers would know where to find the good pieces.
Yes. And they're also a model. So, like, they both had to establish themselves mm-hmm. before they were able to, which totally sucks. I completely agree. But I'm glad that they're out there. I'm glad that they're creating work. I'm glad that they are finding allies or fellow non-binary queer folks to create this art with them as well. So happy this movie was made, and I'm happy I got to watch it.
Yeah, like we've been moving this recording around forever, which is part of the reason we don't have a guest. Because I saw it at Sundance in 2023, I believe. And I was like, it's going to show up on a streamer soon, right? Right? And of course it doesn't because the streamers don't give a shit until June. Then they're like, look at us. We're allies. Look at us. Rainbow flag. We just canceled all the queer shows, but whatever. And so I think that's part of the reason why enough people haven't seen this movie. Because, like, the people who got to see it at some festival last year are very much here for it. But also, most people I follow and interact with on Twitter are queer. That's just the way the cookie crumbles.
I mean, as it should be.
Listen, it's a better world. And so it's like this, like, secret in the horror community that this movie exists. And I wish that it was somewhere readily available for other people, not in our small pocket, who want and need to see something like this.
It's a double-edged sword, right? Because I like that it is a small pocket that can appreciate this movie for what it is. Because let's face it, if this got the, like, bones and all treatment, everyone would be like, this isn't horror. It's not really horror. It's not da-da-da-da. But, like, she fucking eats some person. Like, rightfully so.
Any important movie is told it's not horror. Blade, Eve's Bayou. Yeah. It's Black History Month at the time I was recording this, because, again, we moved this around forever and always. And so, like, I'm more interested in the people who need to see it getting it. Because, again,
yes,
it's this and it's gender snaps. I think of young werewolf femme presenting characters. Because I don't know if the character is non-binary or not. I never actually caught that. I don't think so. Or at least the mother wouldn't allow it, I would say.
Bobby's character, I do believe, is non-binary.
I think so.
That's the vibe I'm getting. I would love to have a non-binary person correct me if I am wrong. No. I don't think Amandalus is. I think Amandalus is a cis woman.
Yeah, no, like, Johnny is definitely figuring out who she is. And so she's not even thinking about gender, I don't think, right now, because she's so busy thinking about sexuality and then being upset by what she's discovering, because small towns. I think Heather, though, Let's unpack Heather for a minute, because, like, Heather is clearly born a werewolf and the mom is not about it. They got a history, I get that, but also, like, when you bring a kid into the world and they're a werewolf, that's not really their fault. So the things that happen is not their fault. I'm sorry you got scratched.
Which is very coded queer already, right? Without the, like, actual queerness. But anyway,
which is another reason why I want this movie to be seen by the kids who need it, because, like, again, I'm tired of us having to be like, well, gender snaps is there. End of sentence. But anyways, Heather's mom is just, like, not having it. Mad that she married a werewolf, mad that she gave birth to a werewolf, possibly other werewolves, because the boys are doing something. And instead of her figuring out how to be a better mom in person, she's just like, I'm going to keep ruining your life. And so, of course, Heather's not going to be like, hey, mom, I think I might also be into women, because... But if she's taking the one thing that Heather was born as this badly, what else would she take badly? And so there's that silent struggle. And I think that that's one of the things that works for this movie, is that the way it connects the werewolfism to the queerness, because I almost said lesbianism, but again, we're not sure if Heather's non-binary, if we're projecting, because we know that about the actor. Because I don't think it says either way. And also, would Heather be like, guess what, mom, when mom is mom?
Truly, truly. And I think this is definitely a conversation starter, which I think is a great place for a film to be. The scene that makes me read that she is not, or they are non-binary, is the scene in the locker room after, at the beginning of the movie, when they want to play hockey. Because I made the connection of just gender nonconforming people in general, whether that be trans or non-binary, wanting to take part in athletics, and how complicated that fucking is and how stupid it is, especially when it's fucking educational, like, children doing this. Stop. But, like, that's the scene that made me think that they were non-binary, because it just felt that kind of energy. But I'm definitely interested to hear others' thoughts, for sure.
And that's just it, because again, whether or not we're reading into it that way because we know enough about that actor to be like, maybe, or maybe that actor brought something to it because of that actor's own experiences. But, like, I know for a fact I was not playing with Barbie and wearing ball gowns when I was a child. And I did have a hotation, and I did fuck some hobbits, and I'm embarrassed by it. And so you can do all the things. You can, no matter who you are and where you are. And so I don't want to deny that character, whoever that character may be. Because another thing that we have going on in Hollywood, or film industry, I should say, because this is definitely an indie movie, non-binary actors are forced into playing binary characters because Hollywood won't simply write they, them on a script.
You also have the problem that just in general gay people had for years and years and years of like, oh, that's the effeminate butler, or oh, mm-hmm. that's the, you know, the coded, all the Disney villains from the 90s. Like,
right?
So is that this in a non-binary sense that she, that they are coded as that, or was there, I'm sure there was intention behind it, but I'm just curious what it was.
It could be all of the above. Because again, actors bring their own stuff into the characters, and us, the audience, read different things in it because of our own experiences. And so all the experiences are mingling. And so it could even, I wouldn't be surprised if they never definitely said it on purpose, because I don't think that anybody aside from the people who were throwing slurs around ever identified Heather as anything.
Because as the point behind, I mean, that's not the point, right?
Right. Like
that,
right.
Whether or not Heather is male, female, or man, woman, non-binary, whatever Heather identifies as, Heather is finding themselves, mm-hmm. and as is Johnny as well. Johnny's just having, well, I don't want to say more difficult, because they're both difficult journeys.
They're definitely doing it differently. That made no sense.
Yes.
As a friend of so many people, I've seen similar versions to similar situations that I'm seeing on the screen. But I definitely, we just more instinctively feel more empathy for Heather, because Heather seems to have a better idea that Heather's different and thinks that they've found someone else who is like, I'm figuring it out. And that person's not in a place to figure it out. That person is definitely, I feel, nowhere near as far along as Heather, and Heather is getting it down, whereas Joni's like, I'm gonna stay with this abusive boy, I'm gonna keep doing what my daddy wants, my daddy in sparkly pants, I'm gonna keep going to dangerous bars. I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna say that bars, like, we have a couple of hate crimes tonight, we're not just gonna get it with just the one. But again, what happens, we have mostly white casts. I also just think that I want to shake Joni, but I also love that it wasn't reversed and where Joni was the one coming to save the white partner that did them wrong. Because I'm tired of the sacrificial, are you okay, girl? And so I was really happy to see Joni get the more, I don't want to say villainous edit, but like the less sympathetic edit. Because again, I've had friends on both sides of this coin. One of my closest friends at Victory Gardens definitely has stories about when she was figuring out that she was queer, the friendships that she burned and the toxic things she said at the girls she was attracted to because she didn't want it to be true and because she didn't know what was happening yet. And so I've seen Joni like people later on in life who are doing better and know what they did was wrong. But right now I'm watching Joni put on lipstick while a person that she maybe does have real feelings for is outside, maybe about to be murdered.
I mean, she at least shared a very intimate evening with them.
Listen, they had more than dinner. And so, I want to shake Joni. But again, from the distance, I know that some of my friends have gone through a similar journey. And so I'm trying to find that sympathy. But I do wish that this movie had hit a streamer so we could have had it in the schedule sooner and we could have had a guest, because I would have brought one of them on to be like, hey.
Well, because I do think it's relatable while not being sympathetic. Does that make sense? Like, we've all done shitty things while we're trying to figure out who the fuck we are, especially if you're in a community or in a family that does not support that journey at all. We've all done terrible things that we should feel shitty about. We shouldn't be like, oh, I'm sympathetic to you. But like, so it's relatable while not being sympathetic. That's what I think makes Johnny's character so important and special, is that while, yes, she is relatable, she's not sympathetic.
I just, because like when she's telling all of Heather's business after inviting Heather to the party, and I'm just like, you little cunt. And I wanted Heather to hit her, but Heather would not hit her. And I was like, come on now, you a werewolf, backhander. And I didn't know what to do with that, because normally I'm on a manless side, no matter what. Even bodies, bodies, bodies. I'm like, reasons. And so I was like, I don't know what to do with this.
Well, and they did a fantastic performance.
Yeah. Like,
the performance is top notch.
When they are in the bathroom reapplying lipstick, knowing full well Heather might be being murdered outside, because the bar is like, turn up the TV and look the other way. Because again, this is the kind of bar where hate crimes happen. It just is, which is why I'm like, you in danger.
Right.
And I also am tired of these groups of friends who are like, our leader commits crimes and that's cool. I know that people have ideas about rural places and those ideas are sadly accurate. Because again, how many news cases have gone on to be plays and movies and miniseries where people in a small town are just like, he was the baseball player, so we let him do what he wants.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And actually, so I find it really funny. So when I was watching this, I honestly couldn't, all the straight men in this movie besides the dad, I could not figure out who was who. So I couldn't figure out if Johnny was dating Otto or Rick or both. I don't know. But I'm so glad. Rick is, but Otto's also garbage. So
they're
like
all garbage. Rick is the one putting his hands on the people. And so like he's the one you wanted to get eaten. And so I'm happy that Heather was like, before I leave town, I'm gonna take one last meal. I'm in a little doggy bag.
I literally made the note. This man, the straight man is trash. If she doesn't eat him, I'll be pissed. You know, I make the notes as I watch. And so I said, if she doesn't eat him, I'll be pissed. And so when she ate him, I was like, I wish I could have saw it because I wanted to see the gratification of this man being devoured by this werewolf AFAB person. And I didn't get to see that, but he did get it. So I'm happy because he deserved it. He was a trash human being. AFAB people, stop staying with toxic people. Everyone.
Listen.
Everyone. Get the toxic people out your life.
And that's another reason why I like that Amanda was a Joni, because there's a conversation to be had about Black femmes who are with abusive men, because part of the reason that a lot of us are chosen is because nobody gives a shit about Black women. Look how many seasons of Surviving R. Kelly there are, and look how many people help him get away with all of that. Look at Shia LaBeouf, who definitely put up a Black singer, and when she came forward, people were like, he's been through a lot. Tell as old as time. And like, it's definitely something I've clocked, because whenever I see a rich white man with a partner who is a woman of color, I'm just like, what's going on? And it's because the Michael Fassbenders of the world. Like, I was last year's old when I found out Michael Fassbender beat up an ex. She's not Black, but she is POC. He beat her up and then like she got caught in the car door and he dragged her down the street in the car. We don't talk about that though, because X-Men.
I didn't know that. So good to fucking
somebody
know.
On Twitter said something and I did a Google, because that's how I find out anything, because people like me who keep receipts are the only people who are like, this man's trash. Because people are like, oh, he's in this new David Lynch movie or whatever the fuck. Was it David Lynch? I don't remember. I didn't enjoy the movie, so I don't remember y'all. It's called The Killer. It's on Netflix. Some of y'all are into it. But Michael Fassbender is trash. And I did not know, because this whole time I'm like, oh, he's a little cutie. He's a psycho.
Both can be true at the same time. Right? Unfortunately.
And I hate that I have to live in a world where when I see a wealthy white man with a partner who is a person of color, I'm just like, what are you doing to her? What's going on? Do we know? And I don't know.
Yeah. I also, I need more horror with figure skating. I was here for the dichotomy, the comparison of the figure skating and the hockey. I was here for it. I loved it. That was the one thing Johnny had that I was like, yes, girl, you do that double axel. You get, hit that, hit it. And I'm curious if Amanda did her own stunts. I hope that they did.
I'm not gonna lie, I was triggered because I grew up with a crush on Josh Jackson, who's Canadian, and he did a movie called Ronnie and Julie. Where the figure skaters and the ice skaters and the hockey players were trying to mingle. And I watched it. I recorded on VHS one time when we had cable because, again, I like looked at Josh Jackson. It was not a good movie. again, it's called Ronnie and Julie, and it's on ice. I'm gonna look that up. Y'all know it's not a good movie. I watched it 10 times, so this was too soon. I get what they wanted, but I felt very attacked. I had memories reserved. I did not want.
I need more genre flicks surrounding figure skating. If anyone has any recommendations, please send them my way. Please.
Listen, those tiny girls on ice skates be dangerous. Look.
The tiny girls and the gays. That is ice skating. Figure skating is tiny girls and gays.
Don't say that too loud. Ryan Murphy will hear you. I'm gonna clip that from the episode so I remember, don't get no ideas.
American Horror Story, season 12.
Tara Lipinski.
On ice.
Ryan Murphy. But anyway, I felt so fucking bad when Johnny turned on Heather, because again, Heather's like, I finally found somebody. Because aside from Heather's dad, there is no connection. There's no understanding. There's no care given. And it makes me wonder why they didn't leave sooner, but so many people get stuck in their hometowns. And so that's just something I don't have in me, even though most of my family is stuck in the same small town. And so I'm always like, why don't you just leave? I don't understand. We're all poor together. Get the fuck out. But also, like, Heather's a full-ass werewolf. And so, like, how's Heather going to get people to help chain Heather up? Things like that. And so it's murky.
Yeah, and the scene where her father died, or their father dies, I was like, it hit me in a way that I was not expecting. I totally saw it coming. But as queer youth, I don't think a lot of like cis straight people understand, but like some of them probably do. But as queer youth, it really fucking sucks to lose the one person that might have been accepting of you. Like, it is like you have lost your one little, like, you're hanging by a thread and that thread is slashed. While like Johnny, that part, like, it's a possible other thread that could have happened but didn't. That's one thing. But to lose the only thing that you're holding on to, devastating. Like, the first person that I ever came out to died of an overdose, like a year or two after I came out to her. And it was absolutely devastating. Outside of just like losing a family member, it's losing your only lifeline, losing the only thing that you're grasping onto to have support. And like, oh, when she carried in the body, I was just like, girl, you know, oh, I just was devastated.
Yeah, because he'd been coughing the whole movie. So you're like, he's not long for this world. But like, it was also really sad because it was right around the time that I think he realized Heather is queer, because he stopped saying, mm-hmm. Was there a boy? Were you out with a boy? It started being like, when you find a person. And I'm like, he's getting it. And then he was dead. And I was like, oh no. And I think that's why Heather's like, I'm snapping. I'm cutting my hair off. I'm going to go clear a man because that's a bitch I can eat. Because one of the things I love is when AFABs get to eat in film, even if we don't get to see it, because we are always being judged by what we put in our mouths, what we don't put in our mouths, how heavy we are, how thin we are. And so I love seeing a bitch pick up a rib on screen. I live. Num, num, num for a cheeseburger. I don't even care if the movie makes sense. I'm just like, is she eating a whole steak? Yes. It's why I live for fucking women cannibals, and I go up for raw. I don't know if I understand raw, but I go up for it, because we were eating fingers, we were eating boys. I was like, eat them all. And so I do love that, like, when Heather is like, I don't know what else to do. My little brother just called me the D word. My dad is dead. I'm gonna go eat this fucker. That's when I was like, you're my friend. We can go get beers. Not on a full moon night, but obviously we can get beers on the other nights. Yes.
There's lots of other nights. Some like nights. Full moons don't happen that often.
Listen, we could drink in the daytime. I'm not above it. What? I work from home, Heather.
So, okay. I'm going to go with my one negative about this movie. There are so many striking visuals. It is beautifully shot. There are so many things that happen that I was like, that is gorgeous. I would frame it and put it on my wall. I think sometimes the story, the impact, the momentum gets lost in that a little bit. I wanted more scenes like the scene outside of the party when Heather is confronting Johnny, yeah. Or when in the scene between the father and Heather, when the father's like, I wanted to rip the moon out of the sky. Like, I wanted more moments like that and less visual montages.
That's one of my things, is that I think that it was told in an intriguing way, but I don't think it always benefited the story. But again, it's not my story. And so maybe I'm missing pieces, because I tried because I just watched it for the third time right before we hopped on here because I've seen this movie three times now because I know that at the end of the day I'm failing it and it's not failing me. It's one of those movies as opposed to this is some shit. And so I'm like, let me try it one more time when we hit this recording. And I was trying to track when things are red because I'm like, is it just when she's angry or is it just when she's alone? Is it just what? And it gets real shaky around the middle of the movie because I'm just like, it's not just rage. It's not just her fighting an instinct. Sometimes we're just red. And I'm like, okay. Sometimes we're just blue. And I'm like, okay. And so I think that.
And it looks gorgeous.
It looks so fucking gorgeous. But like, I sometimes wonder if the style we want to put to something, we just need to refine a little bit more. Or if we need to put it on something else. Because I don't think this needs to be like a legit ABC coming out as werewolf and queer story. But I think that we were getting lost in the visuals, especially because like when we eat him, we don't get to see it, but we get all these like weird wolf things happening. And it's moody. And I know that that is a style and the people are into it. And so I just don't think that's for me. But I also think that had it been on a different story and not like distracting from what I wanted to see in this one, I wouldn't have been like, ugh, and taken out every once in a while.
I don't know that I was taken out. I was just like, I don't want to say bored, but I was, why are we doing, like, why am I still looking at watching this 20-minute sex scene? That I get it. It's beautiful. There's so many things. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't 20 minutes. I'm exaggerating. But I wanted to get back to the story, get back to the meat.
It was a meaty movie.
Get back to the why am I here? I'm not here to watch a porno. If I was here to watch a porno, artistically shot porno, we would watch a Romero movie. But like,
I will say the nudity was handled tastefully, and I think that's in part
yes.
because we have what seems to be a group of AFABs leading this charge. And so it wasn't giving me that gross male gaze vibe that ends up foreshadowing the director's of Predator. It was just giving me that we are doing artsy shit. And again, there's an inner art kid in me that never got to go to real art school. I went to the schools I went to. We all make choices. And that bitch was like, what are these eggs about? Like, what is the shadows and the movements? But yeah, I didn't mind the like heightened art sense for the sex scenes because like, why not? Because you're trying to like hide people's stuff. I did mind it for the moments where we could just be having a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I didn't mind that. I didn't mind that it was artsy. And I do think that it was handled well. I just think we spent too much time in it. I wanted to, yes, it's of course sexuality. Like you're going to have it in there. Mm-hmm. But like, get there, get it done, and then move on. It just sometimes felt like I was watching a music video.
It did.
And I was like, where's the plot? Where's the plot?
We did have pockets of music video though. I do wonder if it was part of trying to separate Heather's werewolf journey from the father's because they have that in common. And so it's like a weird dad-daughter situation because like they are definitely bonding over this and the mother's not about it. And it's really weird because I have friends whose moms and dads divorced because the dad came out later in life as a queer. And so like one of my favorite friends in Texas, like actually her and her dad are buddies now because she also is queer. And so they have that in common and the mom is still a little bit salty because the dad came out and ruined their marriage, she says, or said, I don't know if things have healed. I've not checked in. And so like the way that the families divide up, I think is interesting. And I'm like, I'm gonna set her name on this podcast. I just want to go, hey friend, have you seen the movie Call My Animal? I know it's not anywhere streaming, but I think that you and your dad should watch it when you're having buddy time next time.
Yeah. And it also is interesting because there's the two brothers and those like one brother. Well, one they're, okay, one of them is, but the other one, I think they may be twins, but they're
twins.
Exactly the same. Yeah. But the other one is like, no, sir, you're not doing that. Because remember at the end,
yeah,
when one of them was calling them the D word and all this stuff, the other one was like, fuck you, bitch, and like fucking choking him out.
That's when I was like, okay, you can stay. Because at first it was just like, we're doing things and this one keeps popping off. Can we talk about that little asshole was just like, no queer people in my family. And I'm like, you, good sir, are a redhead who plays hockey. You're going to get beat up plenty. You need Heather on your side. Like,
you're Weird Al with red hair.
Listen,
like, calm down.
Calm your shit down. Like, should people have been, like, getting loose in the bar that way? Probably not. But also, if I was young again, maybe I would still be doing that kind of shit. I don't know me.
I did plenty of
listen,
it.
Listen, I am always saying I put a shirt on right before phones got smart. And I am so happy. I am so happy. The day before phones got smart, I was like, oh, it's cold in here. And so I'm just like, that's none of your business. That's a grown folks' business. I'm also on your little ass in the bar anyways. Nobody gonna give you a beer. Carrot Top.
Why, right? Why was he there? I was so lost. Like, why? What?
Listen. What? This ain't London. You can't get drunk in there.
When you're seven.
Listen.
However old he is.
If this was London, it'd be different. But the little brother calling Heather the D word was like one macro aggression too many from this fucking family. Because between that little bastard and the mother, I was like, you gotta go. I know you didn't want to go. You gotta go. You gotta get the fuck out right now.
Right. Absolutely. Well, and then you have like the mother. The mother is such an interesting character because, like, God, she's awful for like 98.9% of this movie. And then she has that one moment at the very end after Heather ate the dude and she's like washing her in the bathtub. She's like, hey, you probably should leave town because, like, yeah.
I think she was going to make Heather leave town no matter what. But now has a reason. Because now it's for Heather's own good as opposed to her being a bad mom.
Well, and she's, I mean, absolutely an alcoholic and absolutely like an abusive person. So probably. Yeah. But because I did think it was interesting the use of Heather having to go buy their mother booze. Mm-hmm. And I like that Johnny, that was the first thing when I was like, Johnny, you may not be like on the up and up here when Johnny started using Heather to buy booze for her boyfriend who was toxic as fuck, who literally got kicked, like banned from this liquor store because he was stealing things, which Johnny was also doing when we first meet her. But I don't have a huge thing about theft, but especially from a store.
Listen.
From people, that's fucked up. But like from a store, okay, whatever.
They're gonna be fine. They're gonna choose.
Right, but like this guy is clearly toxic, and you're getting your new friend to buy him alcohol because he can't do it.
The mental gymnastics that people in abusive relationships use to stay there is something that I just can never understand. I know that I am coming from a salty place because of the way I was raised and the things I had to listen and watch go down, and nobody ever changed anything. But it's curious, and I would love to sit down with a therapist or someone one day just to be like, what makes this happen? Because we see the stats about how many times it'll take before they actually leave for good, as opposed to being like, I'm leaving and then coming back tomorrow. We see the stats on how many of them know they're in an abusive relationship, but just won't cut the cord. And we also have the unfortunate front seats to seeing how people who do escape get treated because the patriarchy. Like, Kanye West made us feel bad for Kim Kardashian. That's where we're at as a society. Y'all let that happen. Y'all let that happen. And, like, the hoteps and the assholes were like, he's going to see his family. He is off his meds. He is doing all the wild things and threatening to kill people. The fact that we were like, you need to leave Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson alone, I feel sick. I hate everything about this country and about this society. But also, if it's hard for Kim Kardashian's rich ass to get out of a relationship.
Truly.
Yeah.
Well, so you know a really interesting thing. So I had a friend who was getting their master's in, this isn't the actual like field of study I know, but it's the only thing that comes to mind. But like to be a therapist, essentially.
Psychology.
But I thought, well, okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. but one of their classes, they had to take a character from a movie and like, put together a like therapy like program for them. Oh. I was just like, that would be so fun. I want to take that class and that class only.
I kind of want to do that. Can we make that a first Friday? And we'll just cheat one. It'd be like, we're going to pull it out of the cup, y'all, on that Patreon. We're going to just do this because we want to.
Let us do our own therapy session with.
I'm putting a cup. Quick therapy sessions for our favorite characters in horror. I'm putting in a cup tonight so I don't forget because I will forget.
With Cindy Prescott. Girl, don't go back home.
Stop. Stop going home. Most of mine will be like, girl, get your revenge. Don't feel bad. Cut him again. But yeah, I would really like to sit down with a therapist one day to be like, what is it that makes people stay? Because that's the part that we miss from those statistics, because people love numbers, but they don't love the reasons.
Yeah. Well, and just a little bit that I know, it's literally like your brain is like transitioned to accept this negative stuff as positive attention. And it literally is a mental disorder like schizophrenia or any of the other like actual like medical shit. So it's real. Abuse is fucking fucked up and will fuck your whole brain up, fuck your whole world up. And we all deal with it on some level, but like those people that deal with it on a every day, every second, every minute level, it literally changes the chemistry of your brain.
I also think that the reason that Jonna was cast as a black girl is because that there was a conversation to be had there and we just didn't have it. And I don't know if it's lack of time or if it got cut. Because again, we are in a white town. Like even Johnny's dad is a white man who wears sparkly pants.
Is her dad gay? He hit that little dog and I said, okay, Sigmund and Freud, we gotta have a talk. We gotta have a talk. Okay.
Right? I was like, I have questions for this character. That Scott Thompson is giving us. And I don't know if that was also a commentary on like people are people, gender is a construct. But like, again, I think that that's just one of the things we just didn't get to delve into. But I think that having Amanda play Johnny was definitely a thought of how black women are treated and how they are internalizing all of the abuse they get and how people don't give a shit and how they have to be different things for everybody else. But we just never got to unpack it. So I'm just putting in my two cents instead of the movie being like, hey, white people who are watching this, there's also a conversation over here about that. But again, because Johnny's not really sympathetic, I don't know if that's something that would work.
Yeah, that might be something they were like, we just got to trim this because like we can't do every storyline.
We can't do every storyline. And also,
that's my animal too.
Listen, my other animal.
Johnny Takes Manhattan.
Just Johnny on a boat putting a lipstick on, making trouble for everybody else. I also wonder what happens to this character after the boyfriend gets eaten, because will she just find another abuser, or will she be like, oh, let me go figure out who I am and like work through my identity crisis I'm having and treat people better when I sleep with them?
Fair. Let's hope the latter. Let's hope that second choice they choose you.
Listen.
So, I have positive, fun news for you. I don't know if you're aware. Amandala does music as well. Oh, yeah. And they released a song with this movie.
Is that the credit?
And it's so... Yes, it's that song. Okay. And it's so great. You can get it on all the places. It's called Vicious Animal. I almost said My Animal. Yeah. That's the movie, Trent. Wicked Animal. It's called Wicked Animal. So good. Look at
a lot of the kids have to get into music because we know that they're not making money as actors. We just found out last year, if you weren't paying attention. And so a lot of them are like, I can sell perfume or I can make music. Jasmine Sawyer Brown also makes music. And like a lot of the Stranger Things kids we still talk to make music. Not the one we don't talk to, Noah Snop. Millie Bobby Brown. But the other ones that we speak to, they also have bands or are Broadway situations. You have to have side hustles even when you are living your dream now. Because America, America.
But yeah, I really like the song. Go look it up. It is the credit song. So if you stayed for the credits or the post-credit scene, there's a post-credit scene to this movie. If you stayed for that, you heard the song. It's really fun. I liked it a lot.
I was wondering why I liked that song, because I did not watch this movie with my glasses any of the three times I saw it. And so the credits were not seen, but I was vibing.
And it features Bobby, however you say their last name. I'm not going to try. It features Bobby. So it's both of them on the song together. I think that's fun.
I think it's Bobby Savoir Menouze. But again, we'll I am that. From Missouri, so I could have said the complete opposite of what it should sound like. But yeah, I can see Bobby also being a musician because I'm looking at these pictures and they are giving model, like hands down. But usually a model, costume fashion designer, actor is going to also do something with some music, like Tupunk for school.
Yeah.
I also appreciate that they are not teens. Like, they're not far from teenhood, but they are not teens. And I think that that's a demographic we don't get a lot of, the in-between 15-25 range, is what I'm assuming. Again, we don't get a lot of definites. Like, they're not just like, this is Heather. Heather's pronouns are, and Heather is such and such age. So we're assuming some things, but I don't think Heather or Johnny are more than, they're clearly not 28 because the boyfriend's 28. So I would put them in like early 20s.
Right. I'd put them like fresh 18, right out of high school.
I think Johnny might be 19, 20 because can't get alcohol. But I think Heather, who can get alcohol, is like 21, 22, maybe 23.
Well, but they have that line with their mother that's like, they may not sell it to me. So I think the mother has some kind of deal with this liquor store that she's like, hey, I'm going to send my kid.
Small towns.
Some alcoholic, abusive parents do with their children. So,
yep, and small towns so, a lot.
Could be.
I have.
It smells like a small town,
right? Because they're not in high school, but they're not in college, and I love that that is a thing. Because how often do we get? I didn't go straight to college. It's always say by the bell the college years, right. And so I think we need more stories like this.
You watch Euphoria, right?
Yeah.
I've tried. they're on Euphoria for an episode. Bobby is.
I saw that they had Euphoria in their thing because I was thinking, is it Yellow Jackets? Because they look familiar. But like, if it was just an episode, I probably don't remember. But they do look familiar. And so I appreciate that it was something I know I've seen as opposed to being like, maybe I saw that one time.
The character is called TC. I don't know if that works.
It's been so many years since the second season. Also, Euphoria is a time and a place. I'm happy Zendaya's getting a bag.
I tried, and it's just a lot.
I wish I could quit it. I really do, because I keep hearing the person who makes it is awful, and I don't want to support him. But I'm so far in now. I'm so far. And it's kind of like RuPaul's Drag Race, where like RuPaul is trash, but like the queens who are getting their moment, you do want to root for. And we have so many up-and-coming young actors who this was their first thing. And so we're getting to meet them that way. Like, Jacob Elordi is coming off of Euphoria for the most part. I mean, more trickles came out right before. We have, I forgot her name. She's got a horror movie coming out, and I need to know her name. I just fucking forgot it. Let me Google. Euphoria cast. I am an old. Hunter Schaefer. I don't know. I forget Hunter Schaefer's name. It's the most basic name. But I'm all like, oh. I don't know her. We also got Barbie Ferreira from there. And so, yeah, like the late Angus Cloud. Mm-hmm. And so, like, again, we found out Mod Apatow could act on that show. And so while I want to quit it, and while I can't always say every episode is great, it is addictive.
Yeah. And Zendaya's there. Zendaya's gorgeous no matter what
she does. Listen, she could sell me another refrigerator. I just... We will all be working for Zendaya sooner or later, and so like we might as well go and watch her show, whether or not we want to watch her.
If she's there, we'll be there.
Listen, she's the reason Tom Holland wants to do more serious shit. Like,
ooh, Tom Holland could do a lot for me. But anyway,
couple because like Zendaya's like maybe a foot taller than him. I don't know because I don't know how thick her high heels are. But I saw a clip there on the Graham Norton show, and they're talking about how he's Spider-Man and like she's MJ. But when they land, because she's taller, she hits the ground first. And so he kind of bounces as he catches him. And then they like demonstrated it. And I cackled because it would be like, hi. And then he'd have a leg bounce up. And she'd be like, I got you.
I love that so much. I love Tom Holland is so funny to me.
He is. He can't be told secrets.
No, he cannot. He cannot. He literally, on a talk show one time, they were like, who in your phone would we be surprised to hear from? And he's like, I have Timothy Chalamet's number. And they're like, call him right now. And he's like, okay. He fucking calls Timothy Chalamet. And Timothy Andrews like, hey, I'm in this interview. Timothy's like, what the fuck is going on?
He is also a magical little bastard. Because, like, before he was dating Zendaya, they were like, who's one of the people you're excited to work for or work with on Spider-Man? He's like, Zendaya. I just think she's really lovely. And I hope we get to be best friends. Now they got fucking and houses. And he was, they asked him about his favorite video game. And then all of a sudden, he did a video game movie with Marky Marks. I never saw it. But yeah. And to be fair, he is a good actor. He's coming from theater, though. So, like, you gotta work.
And dance. Listen. And
he was a Billy Elliot, which is why he's a great Spider-Man. Them boys is limber.
That video of him lip-syncing Rihanna, I'm like, y'all.
I was like, Zendaya, you sure if know. You don't marry that boy, I might.
All right, Sheree. Are we ready for hot takes for this movie and not Holland?
I wish his show had been better on Apple TV, but he was a good actor and he proved he could do stuff if we'd given him. But back to this movie. Switching my wig. Okay, I'm feeling not so spicy today. My hot take is simply, I want to see more from this filmmaker and I hope they stick to the genre. Again, I'm not sure everything about this was 100%, but I'm intrigued and I'm leaning forward.
Agreed. My hot take is let AFAB people create more stuff. Mm-hmm. Let them, because like some of my favorite films of all time have been directed, written by AFAB people, at least inspired by their novels or whatever. Like, let AFAB people do their create more stuff and let queer people create more stuff because they doing it. We doing it, you know? Let it happen.
Intersectionality. Listen. I keep asking for it. And the industry is like, what's that? We have a blonde woman doing that now. Remember the ScarJo era where she played everybody's demographic but her own? And that's why I want to fight her. Also, her husband's trash if they're still married.
I don't know. What?
You know she hasn't. You know she hasn't. Like, she's ScarJo. I will stop drinking before she changes.
Oh, damn. Okay, well.
Also, she married Colin Jost to make sure we know she will never change.
That's fair. I mean, I'm not a ScarJo fan, so it is what it is.
Nobody can be in this economy. Like, I'm not trying to shame nobody, but if you're a ScarJo fan, pull up some receipts. Just pull up some receipts and how you feel afterwards.
Yeah. All right, Sheree, how many drinks are you giving this one?
I'm giving this 3 beers that I stole from the liquor store.
I think Johnny literally steals 3 beers. Maybe it's 2. I don't know. It's 2 or 3.
She didn't steal one from me, so red flag.
That bitch.
That bitch. No. And that's why I really didn't like her. Ha ha.
I'm giving this one 4 Bloody Marys because there was, you know, for a movie with not a lot of gore, there was a lot of things, juices coming out of mouths and stuff. And y'all know I'm a Christina Aguilera stan account, and y'all know I've seen the music video for Accelerate. If y'all have seen it, you know what I'm talking about when the stuff comes out her mouth. I was like, this filmmaker saw that music video too many times.
I'm going to need to explain that to me when we done recording this, because I ain't seen that. I never heard that song. But yeah, no, them egg yolks, I had questions. And if somebody went to a Q&A, just like slide me your cliff notes. So I ain't got to like meet this filmmaker someday and be like, what about the egg yolks? Like a basic little lady. Me in my Midwestern sweater with my hot dish. Like, I saw y'all and y'all's egg yolks. Please explain.
All right, y'all. Well, that is our thoughts on My Animal. Thank you all for listening. Next week, we're going to be covering Dawn of the Dead, the remake, because y'all know we've already covered the original. That is from 2004.
That's right, y'all. It's the one time I can't fight Zack Snyder. And it's going to begin our 2000s and odd, because next month is a new month with a new theme. We turn the wig around and we're coming back to the chat.
Turn the wig around. Love to get the.
No, can you find the new part? Turn it upside down.
They couldn't in Dreamgirls. Oh!
Pooh. I'll be your dream girl.
So many music references.
Listen, dream curl. Listen, I'm going to see myself out.
All right, y'all. Again, thank you so much for listening and supporting us here at Fear Street. As always, make sure that you stay fierce out there.
Bye.